G'day and welcome to the Farms Advice podcast. Hope you had a cracker Easter weekend and you're ready to get back into it. I'm your host, Jack Creswell, and you're in for a cracking episode this week. Farms Advice podcast focuses on growing agribusinesses throughout Australia to improve the long-term outlook for both you and I. Please, if you like the episode or any others, please share it with your friends, family, and specifically farmers, so we can help keep the lights on at the Farms Advice podcast. This episode, we speak with Anna Pimenta from King Island off the coast of Tasmania. A beautiful place to live and farm, as she will tell you. She's running farm tours alongside her MasterChef skills and also quaint cottages that'll place you right at home. Approximately 1.8 million domestic and international tourists visit Australian farms in 15 and 16, so the market is there and it's growing, ready for you to take it by the horns. I can't wait to see where this goes in the future for both Anna and Tom, as well as the wider industries, for those looking at doing it themselves. Let's get into it, shall we? Welcome to the Farms Advice podcast, Anna. Excellent to have you on the show
today. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're based down off on King Island, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it, King Island, for the ones that don't know, a little island between Melbourne and Tasmania.
So it's very different to the guests that we've had on the podcast, but that's how we like to keep it nice and diverse. How's everything looking on King Island? Nice and wet, as usual?
Yeah, it's actually raining quite a lot today. Not as much as in New South Wales, but we had the best season ever on King Island this year. So all the farmers are very happy with all the high beef prices and the great season. So we're all doing very well here.
Yeah, amazing. So how many farmers actually is there on King Island?
I can't tell you the exact number, but yeah. I think it's around 60 farm businesses. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's quite good. And you're quite a prominent one on there. I've been loving your social media and your website's really good for Meet Your Beef.
Thanks, Jack.
So just before we get into it, a bit of your background and your education and how you're connected into agriculture within Australia now.
So a bit about myself, you might be picking an accent. That's because I am Portuguese, grew up in Portugal. I went to uni in Portugal. I've studied 5 years of animal production at uni. I then went to work in hunting management in Spain. And then when I was 25, I've decided to come and visit Australia and work on farms here with intentions of returning home. But end up on King Island somehow, not knowing much about the place, and fell in love with the place and met Tom, that is now my husband, Tom Perry, and stayed. And we started our business in 2009 from scratch. So we actually self-made farmers. Although Tom grew up on a farm as well, but their mum and dad sold the property and we started our own business in 2009.
Yeah, amazing. I suppose you don't really see that much self-starters into farming. It's good that you've got the opportunity to come into agriculture farm side of things. How's it all going down there? And what's your operation farm-wise?
So Tom and I both got an academic background, I guess, in agriculture, and that really helped shaping our business. Tom had the experience of growing up on a farm, and I've had, although I did study animal production, but I came in with a new set of eyes. And I reckon that's really important in our industry, in any industry, actually. I think it's important to have someone with an open mind and then able to question why things are done the way they are. I think it's great to have new people in the industry. And so things started a bit rough, as you would with any, with a startup business. The first 5 years was quite difficult. We had full-time jobs and... But because King Island is such a predictable environment in terms of you know, seasons and grass growth, it is quite easy to predict and to budget. And so the risks we take were quite well measured. So the business developed really well. So we actually own now 2,000 acres of productive land and just over 2,000 head of cattle. So to do that in 10 years, you know, we're very proud of it. And we did it because, of course, you've got to run a good business, but also King Island has all those characteristics that if you can explore them, you can really be quite successful. So yeah, with good seasons and good beef prices now, we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I think that predictability really helps you out in the initial stages, knowing what you can get back from. If I purchase this farm, I can get the return on this investment here.
Yeah, definitely. So that was an easy thing, I guess, to predict. And we just predicted in a way that we were always allowing for a downturn in price or, you know, I never budgeted for good prices. I always budget for lower prices and then we never get caught.
Yeah, and if you exceed those, it's even better.
Oh, yes, and then it's great.
So the reason...
What happened this year.
Absolutely. The reason why I got you on the show is... Agritourism is a bit of a buzzword at the moment, especially because we're locked in COVID and Aussies are traveling around. You've set up yourself as Meat Your Beef. Can you talk to us about that and how did this come about, running it with your farm as well? Does it work well?
Yes. I've started this side business in 2015. And I never had intentions really of making this side business a big business. So it's not a big part of financial, it's not a big part financially of the big business of the farm because it doesn't turn over a lot of, it doesn't have a big profit. But I did it more because I think there was a gap between, you know, and I know that it's been identified by many people that there's a gap between farms and farmers and the rest of the community around the world and the city and farm and country divide, I guess. And I think that I think that's where I'm a bit well positioned being Portuguese and being quite a social well-being that I did see this gap. And I think that farmers in Australia, generally speaking, are quite, you know, they go on about their job and they just do their job and they're quite happy that way and they do a very good job, but they're not very comfortable talking to other people about what they do. It just comes down to personality types, I think. And so I actually, when I came to Australia, to King Island more specifically, I really struggled with the isolation in terms of, you know, my social life was like, went down by 80%. Yeah. And I really struggled with it. And I thought, well, I love what I do. I love being a farmer and I love talking to people. And I know there's a gap out there. And why not fill in that gap with something that I love doing, which is talking about farming and cooking, because I do a paddock to plate as well.
Yep.
And so that was more, I think, when I started this business, a side business, was more that I owed that to the community. Like I was in a good position to do that and to just fill in that gap and give back to the community about what we do on the land here as a farmer and how we treat our animals and how we treat our environment and explain to people why we do things the way we do. So that's just an educational tool to our community.
Yeah, I think it's like a really good outlet, what you can do on a farm tour opposed to what is conveyed within the media. You can really personalize their own tour and let them understand what goes on from your paddock to plate. Then the consumer can walk away from that knowing confidence that you're working your cattle in a sustainable way and also that it's a sustainable future for the industry moving forward. The consumers are investors in our industry, stakeholders as such, buying into it, using the produce. But for yourself, How's that journey been building the farm tours, your paddock to plate?
Yeah, so it's been really good. I mean, a few ups and downs, obviously, but a lot more ups and downs. I think that has provided me with the opportunity of meeting a lot of different people, and I've created actually a lot of friends along the way. It has also allowed me to meet up people, very interesting people like yourself, you know, like just I had lots of famous people coming through here.
Yeah.
You get the thing. Yeah, you get things that you never imagined you would. So it's been, and for me, the most amazing thing that happens when I do tours is when people leave the farm and leave my place, giving me a big hug. This is prior COVID, but like with a good feeling inside them that they understood what it's done on the farm, and that and I guess they get the passion. They understand my passion, and they understand I'm really passionate about what I do, and they go home with a good feeling that our animals are well looked after, and the future of our industry is in good hands. And for me, that's when I know that I got my job done. You know, it's not about how much they're paying me at the end of the day, is that I actually done my job. Like I've passed on all the good information about our industry.
Yeah, definitely. But I think looking back on it, it's great to work alongside the farm. So the farm can provide that revenue for you. And then the farm tours, agritourism, is building up that consumer confidence in it. But also down the longer run, it might start to generate more revenue as it starts to mature into its business. Run us through a farm tour. How do they happen? Is it within a day, or what do you generally do on the farm tour?
Yeah, so as you said, it does work with the farm. So the farm always takes priority. So if something, like we've just been preg testing and weaning, and so I've been really busy and I had to like change a few tours, like making them a little bit shorter, things like that, because I always tell people the farm takes priority to the tours. Otherwise, without a farm, there wouldn't be any tours. Basically, the normal tour will be a 1.5-hour tour where we meet. I'll tell them, I'll go through about our business. I'll tell them how we started because it is so important. It's such a personal story. So no one can do it for me because, it is our story, is how we started and why we do things the way we do. And you got to tell them that so they can, when they go out and look at what's happening on the farm, they understand why things are the way they are. So you might see a fence that is needs fixing, but there's a reason for that because there's other priorities that are coming up that, and that is not such a priority. So, you know, you tell them about the side, the business side, and also that because people come here with a romantic idea of the farmer, all we do is moving cattle in paddocks, in horses or bikes or whatever, and that's all we do, and there's so much more to farmers. So I do dig deep into business skills and science.
Yep.
And then we'll go out and have a look at livestock. We'll try to have a look at all the classes of livestock if possible. But generally, they just come in and I don't work anything in particular for that day. It's whatever we are doing that day. So if I have to move a mob of cows that day, that's what we'll be doing. If I'm checking heifers that are calving, that's what we'll be doing. And sometimes we get to pull a calf, you know, and that comes with risks and you've got to explain those risks. But it's all about real farming. So the farm continues and they come and just watch what is happening on the farm on that day. And then after we do a tour, and it's very flexible to people's knowledge. So depending who they are and what questions they do. And yep. I love when they do a lot of questions. It can go in any way, really. But and then we just come home and I'll cook lunch for them. with our beef and some of other King Island produce.
That's amazing. So they get to actually taste what you work on each day, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, they do. Yeah. So we serve our own beef.
So for the farm tours, how large are the tours? You got a few people on them each day or?
Yeah, so the tours are now happening only once a week because King Island is King Island and we don't have as many people coming through. So it's just easier to plan for one day a week. And but I do also do bigger groups. So people that come in buses, there's an organized tour and they'll vary from 20 to 25 people in a tour. And the Friday tours are generally, you know, between 2 up to 10 people, depending on who, but I'll do it for the 2 people as I do it for the 10 people, you know, that's, I'll just take the good with the bad. But so I've got a tour this week, for example, on Friday, and we'll have 9 people coming today.
Yeah, amazing. So I take a step back and looking at the flexibility of the tours, they need to operate with the farm itself. And then that's how you can carry out your day-to-day activities as well. But I suppose for the tour, it's really good so that they can experience what farms are doing. We're jumping around the place, trying to manage our priorities, as you said, about the fence being down. And it just gives them that further understanding into farmers do actually have to do a fair bit throughout their day-to-day, cover a few roles, don't they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So on within your agritourism, how, like, is it just the family working within it or you employ a couple more?
Yeah, so that's been a challenge. So there's only Tom.
All good.
Yeah. Tom came inside and the dog just went crazy. We might wait until we... It's okay. All good. So going back to, so with the farm tours and the family, so it's only Tom and I working on the farm and running the tours, and we also got accommodation and we don't employ anyone, and that's really hard. So that's becoming harder. It would be great to employ someone to help. With the tours, it's difficult because no one can do the tour for me, and really the cooking, it's all really has to be done by me, but it'd be great to have someone that I could train to actually do the cooking part of it. But at the moment, I don't employ anyone, but yeah, it's definitely in the cards to find someone
the right. Yeah, I think you're not the only one looking at it as a juggling act. I think like you probably can hire someone for a day, but they won't, straight off the bat, they won't have the same passion as what you do. But you also can't probably afford them throughout the whole week, month as a full-time employee until you're at that bar. Mm-hmm. But you are working quite hard, getting it off the ground. What do you look forward to about having agritourism, being able to communicate with those on the tour and the industry at large?
Sorry, Jack. So the question would be can you just rephrase that question a little bit?
Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most about being a part of agritourism and offering another element to consumers other than your produce?
Oh, it's just, offering. Yeah. That's actually a really good point. And I think, if other people are listening that, are thinking about starting agritourism business. So I'm lucky enough that I live on an island and the people that come to the tour really want to come here. But sometimes you get asked the question, oh, why do you charge that much? Or, you know, like if they're coming for the tour only and I don't actually charge that much, but, you know, that some people do question the money, the cost of the tour. And people forget that your knowledge and your experience is valuable. So you can't just, you know, it's not free. I spent years at uni and traveling and, you know, developing my professional business and agricultural skills. And now I'm transferring all this knowledge to other people, and your knowledge is worth it. Like, it's worth something.
100%.
And so I'm lucky that I don't have many people questioning that, but I think it is important for people to know that, you know, they don't have to do it for free. Your knowledge is valuable, and it should, you know, you should attribute a dollar value to it if you want to have a business, if you want to make a business out of it. So that was one point of that question. But the other one is I had so many positive feedback, and I've had people coming here that are vegetarians, even vegans, coming through the tour. And I really think that step by step, very slowly, but I am making a change. And I think I'm changing people's views about farming from all the people that come through here. And those people will tell other people. And so you can't underestimate the value of what you do, even if you just do it for a small amount of people, because those people will then have kids and have family and friends, and they'll pass it on as well. And I even had a returning customer, I believe it or not. I had people that came here twice. I do think there's that gap, and I think we all should be playing a part on that gap. And I couldn't be prouder that I am in that position of, you know, filling in such an important gap.
Yeah, definitely.
In our industry.
I think it comes down to like the personality of yourself and Tom really wanting to push for more. I'd love to see agriculture take it by the horns and introduce it a bit more throughout mainland Australia as well. You're in a unique position on King Island. It's always looking lush and green. But like, there's definitely opportunity there for others. But before you got started, did you trial a few farm tours just to see if it was a working business that could work along your farm before you set up Meet My Beef logo, Meet Your Beef?
I'll tell you a story about that as well, that it might help other people as well that are thinking about this. So when I started the tours, yes, I did trial, and I did learn a few. So I wasn't charging as much as I do now, and have a few friends, and did a few trials, and I didn't have a room set up, so people had to come in my house, and I had a 1-year-old at the time, and you know, it was messy. My house was always messy, and I had to clean the house and bring people in, and you know, it was so difficult. When I was thinking about starting these tours, Tom and I were chatting about it, and I said to Tom, I really want to do this because I think there's a real need for it. And he's like, no, we can't do it because look at the, you know, you just look outside. It's all a mess. You know, there's old sheds and the fences are falling apart and, you know, the driveway is all bumpy. And I said, I like to look at the positives.
Yeah.
And I said to him, look, I don't think that will matter too much. Because when people will come, they might have that impression coming through first, you know, that first impression, but I will make them understand why things are the way they are. And so that's what I did. And I actually, when people were coming through here, I would say, look, you know, you might have seen the sheds that are there falling apart or the fences that need fixing, but that is happening for a reason. And that's because we are self-made farmers and it's not always easy to start a new business, and there's you know, animals take priority and the environment takes priority, and all those other things get done when they get done. So you know, people have got this idea of this romantic idea of this beautiful farms with beautiful fences and beautiful gardens, and that's not the reality to everyone, especially when you having a go. And I never, you know, I had probably one person throughout, you know, the last 6 years that pointed that out to us. as, oh, the place needs looking after. But they were, you know, that's one person, and I can't count how many came through here throughout the years. So I think that's pretty good. So I'm just thinking that other people, if they're thinking that way, just what matters the most is your story and what you have to say.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's about jumping in, and not everything's going to be perfect before starting your own farm tours. But for someone that is thinking about it, what's a few things that you would get them to think about before looking to run a farm mm-hmm. tour, or even like your cottage that you have as accommodation overnight?
Yeah, of course, you got to look into all the insurances and what do you want to do, whether people, do you want people to touch animals, not, you know, because yep. That will have an impact on your insurance. So make sure you know with your local councils what you've got to do in terms of facilities. You might have to apply for permits, which I already had to, but they weren't that, like, I'm allowed to cook on my home kitchen. They understood it is a small business, and I get inspections every so often. But yeah, so all the bureaucracy of it, I guess. But don't let that take away your willingness of starting a business. Yep. And then try to work out who your customers are, and try to, you know, are they city people? Are they foodies? Are they other farmers? You know, what are your main customers? And I have a lot of foodies coming through here more than anything. Work out what works for you and for the farm. So when I started, I was a bit all over the shop. So I'd be like doing tours. People will call me and I'll book a tour for them. And then someone else would call me and I'll book another day. And I was like, oh, this is going a bit insane. And I just end up doing tours for two people all the time. Yep. So I've decided to just work out a date that works for me. I know I'm going to put that day aside. But you might set up 2 days a week, but it's probably a good idea to set up a day. So that's probably my biggest piece of advice. And just be yourself. Just be true to yourself when you're doing your tours. Don't tell them any... tell the truth, be honest,
that's it. I think like what I'm trying to do with the podcast as well for agribusinesses is be transparent, and what you just said there, it really shines through. Being transparent does pay off in the end for the consumers, but also yourself as an agribusiness, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah, and that's what has been lacking in our industry and across different sectors of the industry, is transparency. And I don't think it is because we don't want to be transparent. It's just that lack of communication and knowing how to communicate. I think we all need to learn how to be good communicators, because our consumers are demanding that. So being good communicators.
Absolutely. And then like talking about your targeted audience as foodies, do you promote to the foodie niche, or how do you entice customers?
So I'm quite happy with the customers I'm getting, so I don't I'm not here to get more customers, but so again, I'm always true to myself when it comes to marketing. So I market what happens on the farm, and then sometimes that includes food. But because I have here on the island, people, you know, that like word of mouth.
Yeah.
People just know that I cook well, or they tell me I cook well. It's all home food and pretty simple, but it's cooked with good ingredients, and I think that makes it. But so people hear about good stories, and they're just, you know, they just want to come here from that. You know, I'm not particularly focusing on that foodie market.
Yep.
So if you go to my Instagram, there's more photos of and stuff about the farm than of food. But Yeah, I'm not targeting that market. There's just
but it's just what naturally flows in for you.
Yes, it does, because I do a paddock to plate and people know that I do it well.
Well, it's amazing. Like, you've got the three elements going on, don't you? You've got the meat your beef, the farm tours, the paddock to plate, and the cottages all play in to create a little community for yourself, because you're a personable person. I think it works really good. Like, I would like a bit more happening on farm ourselves and looking down the agritourism route. So it's really good to get an insight of what you're doing down on King Island, and for others looking to put their hand in the bucket and make something of their farm with agritourism and to find their
niche. You know, Jack, and also what comes with it is that with doing, so you know, there's that saying that by teaching other people, you teach yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that really happens. Like, if I'm doing a tour, and depending on who I'm doing the tour to, some people are really curious and they ask all great questions, and they're not necessarily farmers, by the way. But a lot of people make me, you know, go home and question things. So I'll go home and say, oh, why am I doing this the way I'm doing this, you know? And or they might ask me something that I don't have an answer for. So all these tours and all this talking has actually made me go and search for answers and better what I do on the farm. So it has definitely helped with personal and professional development for me.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate. Running this podcast, I'm learning from others and coming back and thinking, oh, I could change this and it would make it a lot better. So thanks for Anna giving me that tip. It's really good. But yeah, as a whole, I think you're doing really good, and it's great to see what you're up to. And you really convey it well online through your Instagram at Meet Your Beef. And your website looks amazing as well. And also that photo behind you, he's a cracker.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite. He's not here anymore. One of our favorite bulls.
That was really good looking, but it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. Thank you for coming on, Anna, and for Tom running a really good enterprise down there at King Island. For a question we ask each guest for the podcast, who would you like to hear on the podcast and why? Is there a King Islander down there that you'd like to hear?
yeah, there's lots of great King Islanders here, but I'm going to tell you a name of a person that it's not a King Islander, he's a Queenslander, and I really identify with her. And I was lucky enough to meet her at a conference, in Toowoomba. And I think she's just amazing and super clever. And she's just a living proof that you don't have to grow up and live on the land to become a good farmer, and that is Alice Greenup.
Yep, amazing. I think, like, what you've done yourself coming onto the farm from an outsider, it's really important to bring those skills into the industry. I went across to Europe to learn some more skills to bring them back to the ag industry, and I probably wouldn't have started the podcast otherwise. But yeah, that's an amazing suggestion. I'll have to get onto it.
Thank you.
So for our listeners, how can we contact you or your social media handle? Where are you most present?
So I'm most present on Instagram.
Yep.
I am sorry to everyone else. I am not that old, but I just can't deal with all the social media platforms. So I just keep to Instagram and Facebook, but mostly Instagram.
Yep.
Although you can find me on Twitter as well and on LinkedIn, but I don't really focus, you know, I've got too many things to do than looking at my phone. Already look at it too much. But so Instagram and under Meet Your Beef, M-E-A-T, Your Beef. And my website is www.meetyourbeef.com.au. My email will be there. My phone number will be on my website, and I think it is on Instagram as well. So you're welcome to send me messages. I'm always up to chat.
Amazing. I'm sure a few listeners out there would love to have a look at what you do down in King Island, a bit different to everywhere else. But thank you for coming on the show nonetheless. It's been really good to understand what you get up to.
Well, thanks. It was a pleasure, Jack, and well done on doing a great job.
Thank you for listening to Anna and myself sharing her story of starting up their farm and also running it alongside farm tours, cooking, and also their overnight accommodation. It certainly doesn't happen overnight, as you heard. Do your research and see if it's a viable option for your farm. Hope you liked this episode, and if you did, please share it with other farmers and help us reach the 319,000 plus workers in the industry. And also visit us on Instagram at Farms Advice for further motivation to grow your agribusiness. Until next week, keep on farming.